Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
It's been really tricky. All right, you got to mix and mash all these things. Stack the box, stop the running attack between Bijan Robertson and their backup, by the way, who can also get after it, Tyler Allgeier. Stop those guys. Force Penix to throw the football. Get him uncomfortable. He will throw it up, and it's up to, you know, the linebackers, Tatum Bethune, Nick Martin, who else we got, D Winners, Renardo Green, anyone. Just catch the ball if it's thrown to you.
And hold on to it when you catch it, too.
This is another
aspect.
They've
had a couple drop picks this year. Fred Warner had a couple, like, what was the Jaguars game? Fred had a couple bounce, had one bad one bounce out of his hands. And
yeah.
I mean, that's tough. I mean, I'm not, it's, like, dropping interceptions sucks, but it's like, can you really get too mad when you drop a, I guess you can. But
yes,
they've had some
catch them.
Yes, they've had some close calls, but that is a good call there. Like, they need to end that streak. I mean, they ended one streak last week, so maybe they get another one this week.
I'll say this. This guy has an interception this season.
Well, but there was the Niners.
There was a lot of people that were very quick to move off of Talano Hufanga in the offseason because he just couldn't stay healthy. But that was a guy, I know he got burnt at times, but he needs someone to take some risks in that secondary. And he was a risk taker, and he forced fumbles, and he got picks at times. He just couldn't stay healthy the last couple of seasons. But we do forget he wasn't all pro in a season because he was able to get all those interceptions. So I'm looking at a player like that, someone to take some risks this weekend. You need to take a risk in life. You need to take a chance, Sammy. Take a chance, take a chance. Take a chance on me.
You only get one chance.
One shot.
Yeah,
thank you. Mom's spaghetti, something like that. By the way, you're
listening on your sweater already.
Yeah, I know. You're listening to 95% of the game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey Sports Station, and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. Always live in the Free Odyssey app, going to be live from the Laugh Among Studios. 1 hour to go. Actually, not even an hour to go. We got about 45 minutes to go. We'll get Steiny and Goo for the crossover. But speak now, forever hold your peace. Niner fans, one thing that needs to happen to get a win this Sunday night, 888-957-9570. Matt wants an interception. Sam, what do you want? One thing.
My one thing is I want to see more pressure from Mikael Williams. I don't know if that's maybe too broad of a one thing, but my one thing is I want to see one great game from Mikael Williams. Like, that's the guy I want to see. I want to see the next big step from him because, I mean, we saw it from Bosa right away when he got drafted, and again, I don't want to play this whole, you know, Mikael Williams versus Nick Bosa game. But at the same time, like, Mikael Williams was kind of drafted to be that next wave of the pass rush. You know, they've been trying to find a compliment for Bosa his entire career. He's supposed to be the guy who is that compliment. And if he's going to be the guy who is kind of leading that charge on the defensive line for the next few years, because we don't know what Nick Bosa's future with this team looks like. I mean, he's got his third ACL injury, second on the one knee there. Like, could he come back, you know, ready to go full speed 100% next year? It's possible. Nick Bosa probably has more good years behind him than he does ahead of him. Mikael Williams, in theory, has all of the good years ahead of him.
He's 21.
I need to see that start to come along here, and I just, you know, get me a couple sacks, Mikael. That's my one thing.
That's it, just a couple. That's okay. You know, he is a Georgia native, played at the University of Georgia. All right. He was originally he was supposed to be USC, but he flipped when Kirby Smart took over that program.
I would have done the same thing.
And obviously been a first round pick, national champion. Like, so this, not quite a homecoming because you're not in Georgia, but in a way, like, this is against like the team you grew up watching. This is the Atlanta Falcons. You're from Georgia. Like, let's have a homecoming kind of performance
here. Hardaway, Georgia.
I'm not mad at that storyline. 888-957-9570. One thing that needs to happen for the Niners to get a win this Sunday. You're going Mykal Williams having a big performance. You know who else I would like to see? Just for the good vibes? George Kittle. I want George Kittle to come back, gets a ball in the middle of the field, runs for a touchdown, a big playmaking shot for Kittle to get a shot into this offense and fan base in front of Levi's. Can you imagine the crowd of Levi's if Kittle gets back into the end zone? They're going to go nuts for that guy. That's something that could push an offense forward, carry some momentum, not only just in the passing game, Sammy, on the ground. Think about how important it is for this rushing attack. They haven't had Kittle all season.
Yeah.
We talk about him blocking. He's not Travis Kelce, all right? He's not Kyle Pitts. He's not these guys that just catch the ball, all right? He actually does the dig down and dirty stuff, like Rob Gronkowski. Guys that I truly believe are the best in the GOATs of that position, block. Rob Gronkowski, to me, is the greatest tight end ever. Right there next to him, in my opinion, this last decade, is George Kittle.
Yeah.
Not Travis Kelce. And I get it. Kelsey's got all the numbers. He doesn't block the way George does.
No.
He doesn't mean to this offense, what George means to this offense.
Kelsey's closer to what Jimmy Graham was than what Gronk
was. This was very good.
Yeah, no, yeah. Jimmy, hey, man, you know I love my pro-canes. But, yeah, that would be a huge one there. Another one thing, I think it was Vince earlier said that with Kittle back, he thinks McCaffrey can eclipse 100 yards. Can we eclipse 100 yards as a team?
Seriously.
We have not seen the Niners eclipse 100 yards as a team rushing since that week one win in Seattle. Now, granted, the offense did change a lot in the middle of that game, which I think part of the reason why the run game has suffered is because McCaffrey's being used as a receiver more than a running back. As I said, he's doing the reverse Deebo Samuel. But yeah, if that's kind of what, like, we just need to see this team getting back to playing a style almost that we're used to seeing them win. It seems like they're nickel and diming these wins together in unusual ways, and by unusual I mean by throwing more than passing. Like, if I told you, Spadoni, 6 weeks into the year, the Niners have the number one passing attack in terms of yards per game and the number 30 rushing attack in terms of yards per game, like, what kind of a team are you imagining in that situation? Like,
I honestly thought, if you would tell me before the season, that Christian McCaffrey got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
He's been healthy all year.
Yeah.
Which is kind of the insane thing in all this. Do you know how many, like, his leading rushing yard total in a game this season is? Do you know what that is?
His high total? What's his high total this year?
69 yards.
Nice.
That's it. Yeah. That's it. He can't even eclipse. Can he get to 70 first?
But again, that's, like, yes, the rushing totals have been underwhelming for McCaffrey. The receiving totals, like, he is having probably one of his, he is on pace, and that's going to change, I believe, over the next few weeks. But the pace he has set the first 6 weeks of the season, it's the best receiving season he's had in his career by far.
We got a couple people I want to join the program. Let's start first with Manny in Union City. Manny, one thing that needs to happen for the 49ers to get a dub Sunday night at Levi's. What's up, man?
I'm going to make it real quick. Happy Friday. I want that offensive line to keep Mac Jones upright, that when he goes home, that jersey looked like it got back from the cleaners. That's what I'm wanting, that's what I'm praying for, and that's what I want to see, guys. Have a good weekend.
There you go. That's Manny, usually on the Dumbarton, but in Union City as of late. Keeping him upright. I think that's a great thing. If you could keep him with zero quarterback hits and zero sacks, yeah, that'd be a hell of a performance for this offensive line that has been a roller coaster, and that's putting it nicely.
And that's going to be incredibly difficult to do against the pressure that Mac's going to be. I mean, like, again, if you thought the pressure that Mac saw on Sunday was too much, this team blitzes more than the Bucs. Now, part of that is the situations you get in. You know, I looked at those six sacks that Mac had last year. I'm going to flip through my book of notes here.
Flip it.
I have those six sacks. I would say at least three of them were probably a result of just being in bad, like a bad down and distance situation that honestly, I kind of pin on Kyle Shanahan. And that's where, again, I put more pressure on the offensive line. There's a couple sacks that, you know, like the first sack, you got, you know, those that little off-tackle stretch run to the left that doesn't go for that much. Then you got the bad throw behind Christian McCaffrey that set up the third and five. And then that situation, obviously you're blitzing. That's a blitzing down, third and five, field goal range. You're going to blitz there and try and sack the quarterback, and that's exactly what happened. The second sack, you had a first and 15. You do a little check down. You, then you do the same play to McCaffrey on the other side. And now you're at third and eight. Obviously, you're probably going to blitz on that one. Then that fourth sack, the same thing. Do another check down to Brian Robinson on the right. Do the same little run play to Christian McCaffrey in the same direction. Predictable play calling, third and long. Obviously, you're blitzing in that situation. Can the 49ers get out of those, obviously, you're going to blitz their situations, and, you know, keep the quarterback upright?
We're going to get to Jordan in Union City here momentarily. But first, you know, you're wearing an orange shirt right now for the Miami Hurricanes. You have beautiful orange hair. It is spooky season, Halloween galore, which leads us to the Ghost Report, brought to you by Ghostwood, your neighborhood brew pub in Redwood City. And Sam, I'm going to give you my pick on who the Falcons should be afraid of this week, and I just mentioned it. George Kittle, baby. Kittle like a Nina. Future Hall of Fame tight end is going to be back Sunday night, Levi's Stadium, and he's going to get a touchdown, and they should be very afraid of him.
Get a touchdown, brother.
That's right. In the end zone, he's going to be that mismatch. Throwing up there. Can we just have a couple calls for the tight end, the mismatch there? For the love of God, Kyle, throw it to your mismatch, the big boy. I can box people out. George Kittle. That's who the Falcons should be afraid of. What say you?
I think the Falcons should be afraid of the 49ers team MVP, which is one Christian McCaffrey. You know, I think, again, with him back, maybe he comes out of the backfield a little bit more. Maybe he sees a little bit more of that burst this week. I want to see Christian McCaffrey have a big game. Actually, you know what? I don't want to see that because I'm going against Carter in fantasy. So I need him to have just enough of a game. Maybe, like, not a lot of yards, but, like, a touchdown only. I think Christian McCaffrey is the guy that the Falcons should fear. Heck, no, I'm going to be fearing him. By the way, big night for Jamar Chase.
Jamar Chase, he was huge. And T. Higgins. I actually traded T. Higgins early in the season because I need a running back depth.
Jamar got me 41 in this battle against Carter.
Did he really? So
dropped a 41 bomb.
Oh, no. I didn't realize you had Jamar. Oh, God.
Yeah. That was my first pick. So, yeah, it's, Chris McCaffrey, do good, just not too good.
And clearly the Falcons should be afraid of Sam Lemon's fantasy team as well. The Ghost Report was brought to you by Ghostwood, your neighborhood brew pub specializing in quality craft beers, cocktails, and great fresh food. Shout out Ghostwood. I'm looking at their menu right now. Oh, my God. I'm hungry. They got, hey, Carter, they got chicken parm. They got tacos.
Chicken parm.
They got so good. Chicken parm. Is there anything better for them?
Dude, they got cheese curds there, too. Oh, they got chicken bites. They got the wings. Oh, my God. I'm looking. They got the sandwiches. Oh, my God.
What's the difference between a chicken bite and a chicken nugget?
You know what? Ghostwood Brewing. Go out there. Oh, okay. They'll let you know. By the way, we got Jordan Union City. We'll get you on the other side, Jordan, because it's a Falcons fan, Falcons fan perspective. That's a tongue twister right there. On the other side, we'll get to them. Plus, we got Fast Five before we get to Steiny and Guru every Friday. We've got the crossover with those boys. And it's all going to be brought to you by Crystal Geyser Alpine Spring Water.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
The Falcons and Niner fans. One thing that needs to happen to get a win for the Niners on Sunday, 888-957-9570. But before we get to Carl, we got to get to another Falcons fan. That's Jordan in Union City, who wants one thing that the Falcons need to do to get a win. And I'm sure that is just, hey, Bijan Robinson, keep doing what you're doing. You're probably going to win the game. Hey, Jordan, what's up, man? You're on the Morning Roast.
Hey, fellas. I know I go on as J-Dub. How y'all doing?
J-Dub, what's up, dude? I didn't know that. Excuse me.
Great Jordan Watkins.
Oh, there you go. Wait, the great Jordan Watkins. Wait, the receiver?
Not the Niners one.
Oh, okay. Got
former Stanford guy. Okay.
Not the one that y'all are mad that y'all aren't seeing playing.
Yeah, there you go. The better Jordan Watkins. The healthier, one might say.
The great J-Dub.
What's up, bud?
Yeah, I don't know. I got to get back to stretching if I want to be the healthier one. But no, I just wanted to say this real quick. Cause I know, obviously, you know, we all know about the 49ers injuries, but ours are starting to pile up too in key situations and positions. Like, I know y'all talked about Jake Matthews, right? So if Jake can't play, he's not our second string isn't going to play. It's going to be our fourth and fifth string guys because Caleb McGarius was supposed to start at right tackle. He got hurt before the season. Storm Norton was the backup over there. He got hurt. So now we're down to, if Jake can't play, you're down to your fourth and fifth guys. So, you know, it's one of those things, like I said, just in certain positions where you don't want to see all those injuries, that's where we have them. But also, like I know y'all talk about George Kittle, and I know y'all know how great he is as a pass catcher. I want to see how we do against him in the run game because, as you know, we have two first rounds. We got two young guys at the edge. Right, with Jalen Walker, who is a strong dude, strong as an ox. But we have him and James Pierce Jr. And, you know, we've done okay against the run so far this year. But, yeah, you put George Kittle out there as well. That's a different monster. So I'm going to see, you know, I'm just curious to see how those young guys match up against him in the run game.
I love that. That's J-Dub, Jordan, Union City. 888-957-9570 is the number. One thing that needs to happen to get a Niners win, but that was from a Falcons fan perspective, and they might be very shorthanded on the offensive line. So that, again, you're talking about your one thing being Micah Williams showing up and having a big game. That would help.
Feels a lot more possible now.
That would help. Bryce Huff, another guy. Can we have a Bryce Huff game? He's flashed here and there, but I felt like they've lost steam towards the end. That's how I would phrase it. You know, anytime you lose Nick Bosa, it's tough, right? Any single time you lose a guy like Nick Bosa, everyone's got to step up. It takes not just one performance, two, three, four guys. Same with Fred Warner. Like, you just can't replace all pro and Hall of Fame caliber players like that. That being said, we've seen Bryce Huff, when he was a New York Jet, lead the league in pressures. Michael Williams, he's drafted 11th overall. That's a first-round talent. He's a national championship winner. Georgia Bulldogs. SEC, what do you like to say about SEC defensive players? Oh, well, they just want it more. It just means more. Yeah. They're a step above everyone else. Well, I want to see some flashes. I want to see some physical specimen types of flashes from Michael Williams this Sunday night.
Be it interesting, actually, watching him and Jalen Walker, who was taking four picks after Michael Williams. I mean, first off, I mean, just it's an incredible thing that you have two of those guys on the same defensive line. Imagine having two first-round pick caliber talents on your defensive line. Shout out Ruben Bay and Akeem Mezidor. I said to, you know,
I don't think anyone knows who those guys are.
Well, those are the defensive ends for the Miami Hurricanes.
There you go.
Bain projected to be a top one or two pick right now. Akeem Mezidor.
It's a cool
he'll
name.
He'll be in the top 20 picks as well, but imagine if Jalen Walker just looks that much better than Michael Williams on Sunday night. How miserable would that be?
That would be miserable, but you know what's not miserable? Anytime we get to talk to Carl Dukes of Dukes and Bell in the afternoon on 92.9 The Game out in Atlanta, our Odyssey sister station. Carl, good morning. Joe Spadoni alongside Sam Lubman. It's the Morning Roast, and we were just talking about, you know, the Sunday night football game that everyone's talking about this weekend, looking like Mac Jones is going to be the full-time go here, as he's been the full participant in practice the last few days. Brock Purdy still limited. They're looking at maybe next week or the week after for him to come back. But how are you viewing this Niners team from an outsider perspective with Mac Jones being 3-1? Obviously took the L last week. What have you made from this quarterback, not controversy, but situation here in San Francisco? Good morning.
Good morning, fellas. First of all, did you say Mac Jones? Who?
Who?
Mac
Thank
Jones?
You. Yeah.
Look, it is a controversy. I know everybody out there is running from it, but it is. You paid Brock Purdy, and you got a guy who physically can do all the things Purdy can do, and you're winning with him. So let's stop beating around the bush. That's number one. Number two, how am I looking at this matchup? Look, Falcons had a big win in a big spot against a Super Bowl caliber team that's banged up in the Bills, but Josh Allen was still on the field, and they know Kyle Shanahan. We know Kyle Shanahan really well. Kyle's one of the, if not the best offensive coordinators in the league. Certainly he's proven that out there. Him and Raheem Morris go way back. They coached together for many years and were on various staffs together. So it's all love here as far as respecting what Kyle can bring and how he attacks defenses. But the Falcons are playing really well right now, and they've gotten a lot of confidence coming off this win against Buffalo on Monday night.
Yeah, that was an incredible game to watch in real time, the way the Falcons just really made the Bills and Josh Allen look just absolutely, just really embarrassed them there. But again, Carl, going back to this quarterback situation here, I'm curious, though, the Falcons are going to be facing Mac Jones on Sunday night. That seems all but certain here. Are you on the Falcons side of things? Do you like the fact that you're seeing Mac Jones, or is there a part of you that's just like, man, I really wish Brock Purdy was healthy? Or are you happy that you're not seeing Brock Purdy and it is going to be Mac Jones under center?
Despite the fact that I am not a full believer in Brock Purdy, I do respect that he's won a lot of games and is efficient, and he's, you know, quick with the football. He runs that system for Kyle really, really well. And I feel like Mac has been playing with a lot of confidence, but it, you know, beyond the quarterback spot, guys, I really believe like just where they have been offensively with the injuries has been the reason why the offense hasn't been as prolific as we thought it might be. I don't know how they're going to, Robert Saleh specifically is going to attack Michael Penix and try to slow down, you know, Bijan Robinson, who's the best running back in the league right now. But on the offensive side of things, I do feel like the Falcons are going to be able to get pressure. And I do feel like whether it's Mac, and it sounds like you guys are saying it is, that he's going to have to make some quick decisions and get rid of the football. The problem is the playmakers outside of Christian McCaffrey really don't scare anybody. And so that's part of this weekend going into Sunday Night Football. I'm not telling you the Falcons are going to shut them down, but technically, guys, statistically, the Falcons are the best defense in the NFL right now. And that might be a shock to most people.
No, definitely. And I think a lot of people have been jaded by that performance a couple weeks ago when they got blanked by the Carolina Panthers 30-0, but they followed that up with a win against the Commanders, obviously. And then they had the bye, and then that huge win, biggest win of their year against the Buffalo Bills at home. We're talking to Carl Dukes here on the Morning Roast, Dukes and Bell in the afternoon on 92.9. The game out in Atlanta as the Niners taking on the Falcons this Sunday night, Levi Stadium, prime time game. And you said something there, Carl. You're not really a Brock Purdy believer. What do you mean by that?
I do a national show, and I've talked a lot about this on the national show, guys. I feel like in watching Kyle Shanahan's offenses over the years that when they made the decision to pay Brock Purdy, a lot of, you know, franchises, and certainly they have a great general manager and John, and you know, I think the 49ers have done a hell of a job since Kyle got there. You've had Super Bowl appearances. You know, you had this run where you probably should have won one. But didn't y'all go to a Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo? I mean, the reality is he a guy that can put you over the top? Is he a guy that can take you to the next level? You can win a lot of games with a lot of players in this league, and Kyle's proven that. So when I say that, I want to be respectful of the fact that, you know, Purdy's grinded. It's a great story. One day it'll be a Disney movie. But I don't know if he's the guy that can put you over the top when you get in these big games and can make the throws you need to. Some people say, you know, Garoppolo was a throw away from winning a Super Bowl. Yeah, but it didn't happen. The fact is you got there with him. And if you look at the history of Kyle Shanahan, he's had multiple quarterbacks that have won many games for him in this particular system. So for what I see in Kyle, in Brock Purdy, respect his ability, but I just don't think he's a difference maker.
So you view him more as a passenger on the bus, if you will, of the team, more so than the bus driver.
I view him as a quality quarterback, just not as a guy that can carry a team. And I think that has been evident when he didn't have all of these weapons to throw to, whether it was Debo, Ayuk, Kittle, if McCaffrey was hurt, look at how the team operated. If those situations happen with other teams, Josh Allen has won without guys. Patrick Mahomes has won without guys. Lamar has won without guys. It's almost like things fell apart and Purdy wasn't able to put the team on his back. And I will ask you guys this. Does he make guys better? I mean, Patrick Mahomes is throwing to nobodies the first 5 weeks of the season, and they're still in the mix. That is how you have to look at these elite quarterbacks. And when you're making $53 or $54 million or whatever the hell he's making out there, that's how I look at him.
Well, it's interesting you say that, Carl. We're talking to Carl Dukes here, host of Dukes and Bell in the Afternoon, 92.9 out in Atlanta. You know, my whole defense of Mac Jones, because I don't think there's a huge gap between both these guys right now, and that's been our conversation. What is the gap between these two quarterbacks? You know, Mac has been doing it this season without a running game, and his top target's been Kendrick Bourne. So, like, talking about elevated, that, so, like, and so I feel you on that, and that's a conversation we're having right now. And I guess the only thing and pushback I would have, and that's the separator between them, when Brock is healthy, I will give him this, the mobility is a factor here. Like, he can run a little bit more, a lot of bit more than Mac Jones, who already has a knee brace he's been playing with. Hell, I'm sure you watched Thursday Night Football the other week, Carl, when he got absolutely demolished and he was laying on the field when they cut to commercial break. We thought it was Adrian Martinez time. So that is something that I will give Brock. When healthy, he can run it a little bit more than Mac.
No, no doubt. But to your point, who had Kendrick Bourne on their bingo card 6 months ago? Nobody. So when you're telling me that that's what you're out there and you're winning with, it's a testament to, one, play calling, two, he's doing exactly what they need him to do as far as getting to give the football to the guys that they need to when he needs to. But isn't that what Purdy does? And so, you know, we could debate this. Ultimately, if Purdy comes back, and when he comes back, and by the way, I don't wish injury on anybody. I want him to be out there. I want to see the best guys out there playing. But when he does, this is something that I think, especially if San Francisco doesn't get to, you know, where they want to this season, it'll be talked about. And that's why I say it's not a discussion that people are wanting to have, but it's a reality.
Yeah, we're spending all this time talking about our quarterbacks. I want to talk about your guys' quarterbacks out there in Atlanta.
Let's do it.
So you guys did an interesting move a couple years ago. You signed Kirk Cousins coming off of, was it Achilles or ACL?
Achilles
injury. And the Falcons signed him to a $180 million deal, $100 million guaranteed, which, okay, that's interesting. But you know what? Kurt's had some success. I can understand the logic of that move. But then the Falcons pivot and draft Michael Penix Jr. With the 10th pick in the draft there. And so now you have a situation where your backup quarterback is making $100 million guaranteed to not take a snap for this team in exchange, instead to have Michael Penix Jr. start. To me, from afar, Carl, that just seems like such a nutty quarterback situation for a team to have. How are Falcons fans kind of coming to grips with the fact that $100 million guaranteed for this team is sitting on the bench and not able to be distributed elsewhere?
So this is going to sound simplistic, but that's the cost of doing business. And when you go out and you don't have a quarterback for the last 4 years in Atlanta and you have a chance to go get an established guy, and Kirk Cousins has won a lot of games, you knew you were going to get 35 touchdowns out of him, and then he gets hurt, it's the cost of doing business. So reality is they paid him most of that money in the first two seasons. We have the best backup quarterback situation in the league. If Penix, God forbid, goes down, you trust Kirk to come in and do the job. He's been healthy. He's been quiet. He's not been a troublemaker. He's been a total professional, and I got to give him credit for that. But he also got a lot of money. And for the Falcons, the thought process was, we are not going to be in the situation we've been in the last 4 years. The Matt Ryan situation at the end of his tenure sucked. And then you went through Marcus Mariota and Desmond Ridder and bums. And at the end of the day, the front office said, we're not going to be in that position. We're going to draft a guy while we still are at the top of this draft, and we believe in a guy in Michael Penix. And by the way, guys, the kid's going to be great. He can play. He's still a rookie. This is his ninth game, I believe, we're seeing on Sunday night. But he has special arm talent. And as he grows into this thing, he's going to be a guy that a lot of people around the NFL are talking about. But that's how I would tell you Falcon fans feel now. When it first went down, nobody liked it. Now we understand we have a pretty good situation here in our quarterback room. And number two, the money's the money. Like, nobody's here is talking about what Kirk Cousins got anymore, because they understand, look around the league. Look at what guys are getting. And so it sucks, but it also was the cost of doing business.
All I know is Sunday night's going to be a battle of first-round quarterbacks, Mac Jones versus Michael Penix. Doesn't matter how we got here, that's what we're going to be talking about, right? Pretty crazy.
Hey, Carl,
you said something earlier, like I think your first response, where you said, we got a lot of love for Kyle Shanahan out here in Atlanta. Are you sure about that? Because I feel like he still gets tagged with that 28-3 debacle in the Super Bowl. I feel like there's a lot of Falcons fans that still blame him for that loss.
All right. So most head coaches are on the headset, right? Most head coaches can hear the offensive and defensive calls. If you go back to Super Bowl, I don't even want to do this. See, I don't even know why you're making me do this. I don't even know why you're putting me through this.
Sorry, I have
torture.
To.
If you go back,
we know about torturous Super Bowl losses out here, Carl.
Dan Quinn, who's the head coach, could have easily said, Kyle, let's just run the damn ball, kick a field goal, two-score game, we'll run the clock. They don't have time to come back. And the Falcons are Super Bowl champions, and the history looks different. It didn't play out that way. But Dan Quinn also said, I had to trust the guy who was running the best offense in the league that year. Falcons averaged 36 points a game. They had the highest scoring offense in the league going to the Super Bowl. You guys, I don't have to tell you guys, I mean, Julio Jones, we could go back. The offense was electric. But in that same sentence, you had to trust Kyle to do the things that he had done, and he was not a conservative play caller. That's not how they got there. So I say there's a lot of respect, because you guys have to remember, after he leaves, the offense never looked the same. Guys, this team hasn't been into the playoffs the last 7 years. We have had shows where we literally go, Kyle, we miss you, because the offense has looked awful. So now, retrospect, you go, man, not only was he great, and I go way back with Kyle. I was in Houston, Texas when Kyle was the youngest offensive coordinator in the league at 28 years old. I know how he operates. He's a damn good coach, man. And I think Falcon fans, once he left, you realize, because the next year, a guy named Steve Sarkisian came in. You know where he's at now. And he didn't do those things. He couldn't do and replicate those things that Kyle did. And then we went through a multitude of guys over the last 5 years where you go, okay, well, when's this offense going to look the part? Two things were missing. One was quarterback. Two was play calling and how the offense operated. So, yes, there is a lot of respect for Kyle Shanahan.
Hey, Carl, great stuff. We really appreciate your time this morning, and hopefully we do it again soon, man.
My man, appreciate y'all.
There he goes. Carl Dukes, Dukes and Bell in the afternoon on 92.9 The Game, our sister station, an Odyssey sister station in Atlanta. You can follow him at PutMUpDukes on Twitter.
I thought he had an interesting comment there about the quarterback situation. Like, that's a good way to, like, a very positive way to look at it. You know, we have the best backup quarterback situation in the league. Like,
do they?
Maybe at the end of the day, well, you know what? That's just his opinion. I'm not going to agree with it.
I think the Niners do. I think they've proven it.
Well, that kind of gets into my point here. Like, maybe at some point as we head into Fast Five here in just a moment, like, Brock, Mac, Brock, can we just, like, sit back and enjoy the fact that either way the 49ers have a quarterback that we feel very confident can win football games regardless of who's starting? Like, can we say, like, I like our quarterback room a little bit more than the Falcons quarterback room? You know, like, I like that way of looking at it. Like, Falcons fans didn't like the situation, and then they came to understand, you know what? Maybe we can talk ourselves into this being a good situation. I wonder if Niner fans are willing to also talk themselves into just, you know what? It's just a good situation regardless. We're winners either way.
I had to bring up what he said earlier. He's like, oh, well, Falcons fans, we love Kyle Shanahan.
That's kind of interesting. Well, that is kind of interesting, too, because, like, you know, again, he did say that, you know, Dan Quinn put the faith in Kyle Shanahan, who was an aggressive play caller back then, which we didn't really have enough time to ask the follow-up question there. But, you know, to describe Kyle as being aggressive back then, you know, what's kind of one of the criticisms we have of Kyle Shanahan these days in these big games is he gets kind of a little tense and maybe a little conservative sometimes in these big game situations. So I kind of wonder, and I wish I could have asked this follow-up here, and unfortunately we didn't have the time, but I kind of wonder how that Sunday in Houston, blowing that 28-3 lead, I wonder how much that kind of changed how Kyle Shanahan approaches fourth quarter situations.
You know what never changes? Fast Five.
It is Fast Five.
It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
That was good stuff. I'm glad we were able to squeeze Carl Dukes in there. You can hear why he's a national guy on the Infinity Sports Network, I think he does. Formerly CBS Sports Radio, but I think he's on Infinity Sports Record. Infinity Sports Radio. It's hard for me to say that word for some reason, Sam. You know, you get to this job sometimes, certain words stumble you and you don't know why. And this is an auditory medium. Yeah, exactly. There's certain words that stumble me, just like you keep saying Drew Brees instead of Bledsoe. Infinity, for whatever reason, for me, is one of those. To infinity and beyond. Maybe I just need to think
the
Buzz Lightyear.
Infinity Stones.
Thank you. Maybe I'm just not built for it like Thanos. There you go. Well, what's your final thought?
I mean, only Thanos has that will that others don't have. So,
you love the quotes from those movies.
Absolutely. My final thought is just I need two big wins tonight. Obviously, I need my Miami Hurricanes to come out on top over Louisville. That could be like if Miami wins this tonight, look out, rest of the ACC. Like, I don't see a team on the schedule the rest of the way. They're 4-1.
Oh.
I think they can easily put. They did just lose to Virginia. But I don't see any other team in the ACC the rest of the way than getting our way. And then, of course, after that, it's the real show. I cannot wait to see Cal UNC tonight. The hoodie on the sideline with Hair Jordan right next to him. It should be a fun one tonight for down in Strawberry Canyon for
Hair Jordan.
Time.
Hold on,
you ever heard that one?
Hair Jordan?
Yeah,
I've never. You've had Eddie Pinheiro bread and now Hair Jordan. You're on fire this morning, Sam.
I think it was week one. Someone made a sweatshirt of Hair Jordan. It's Jordan Hudson dunking a basketball.
Oh,
with the silhouette, you know, like the Michael Jordan silhouette.
And Michael Jordan in the box, and then he, like, leaves halfway through the game. Michael Jordan going to be there, you think, this time around? No? No, MJ at Cal? No?
He's not talking about this.
What's Carter? What are you talking about back there? Good job today, Carter, doing a one-man show, basically.
Thanks, Spadone. I really appreciate that, man.
I don't know why that was so funny to me.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
My final thought of the day is, yeah, we've got a tough one on Sunday night, and I think you guys kind of touched on it, but I think that the biggest hurdle for the 49ers this weekend is getting past that Atlanta defensive line. They have been flying all over the field, and I am really looking to Mykel Williams. That's what I need to see this weekend, because guess what? He has some extra motivation. They have James Pierce Jr. across the way. So if he wants to prove that he was the right rookie to be taken, this is the game.
Prove it, dude. That's what we're saying. And my final thought is, I'm happy to see George Kittle back on the field, and hopefully he's going to be producing at a high level. But the full torn hamstring? What? What? Pretty insane.
Yeah, we really did not talk about that much.
I don't really know what to make of it, quite frankly. By the way, I do want to mention one thing. Unfortunate loss in the Bay Area yesterday. San Francisco Athletic Director, USF, I should say, University of San Francisco, where you go, Carter. The AD, Larry Williams, passed away at the age of 62. It was very sudden. He was working out at the gym on campus, and he was dealing with some heart conditions and passed away, 62. I had the pleasure of golfing and meeting Larry for the first time last month with Ethan, our sales rep, and Frank, the deputy athletic director there at USF. And Larry is just such a nice guy and couldn't be more friendly, very smart. Guy played at the NFL level, played at Notre Dame, played for their football team. Guy was just very, very cool individual, and I only got to meet him once, but I think you can learn a lot through someone through just a round of golf. And when things aren't going well, and spoiler alert, we did not have a great group day. That day, it was best ball, and none of us could get a birdie. That just shows you how bad of a day it was for us. But you know what? He had a smile on his face through the whole thing. And that says a lot about his character and who he was as a person. And my thoughts go with his family, his friends, and obviously all those at USF. So rest in peace, Larry Williams, gone way too soon at the age of 62. That was Fast Five, brought to you by Xfinity, introducing the five-year price guarantee. One consistent internet price for the next 5 years, guaranteed. Steiny and Goo next for the crossover, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Good. Go to the Eventbrite page on our website, 95centthegame.com, and sign up now. That's 95centthegame.com. Now, the YouTube audience isn't going to get this question, but do you know who that was on the rejoin?
Oh, absolutely not.
The band. I'm wearing the shirt.
Depeche Mode.
Gorillaz.
I was going to say it was Matt Steinmetz, but I guess we're talking about the wrong part of it.
The original band was just the band. They backed up some of the greatest singer-songwriters of all time, led by Robbie Robertson.
Not making the band.
Was the original, the band.
Like your original.
We move on.
Yeah. We're going to move on now? Okay, yeah. What do you want to move on? What do you want to start with, Steiny?
Warriors' last preseason game tonight.
He's going.
Regular season starts Tuesday. We got Niners Sunday. Kittle back.
Wait.
The 49ers look a little bit better with Kittle. A lot of stuff.
You're not even mentioning the biggest game of the weekend, which is tonight at Cal Berkeley. Bill Belichick's coming to town, Steiny.
Hoodie!
Billy!
That ought to be riveting.
I mean, I'm excited for it.
I mean, you know,
that's part of the story, too.
Yeah, where's she at?
Well,
she'll be on the sideline holding the
totally
play sheet.
Blew that.
Well, man. I'm just saying, and Sam disagrees with me. I do look at Belichick differently these last few years than I used to look at him as head coach rankings go. I think he's lost some steam here.
But what does that mean in the grand scheme of things?
In the grand scheme of things, he left a dumpster fire in New England, and ever since Tom Brady left him, he's been a disaster.
But he built a cathedral, or he was part of what built the dynasty.
He helped some of it.
This is where I kind of push back.
Tom Brady built half of it.
This is where I push back on what Spadoni's saying here, and that is like, yeah, do you look at Bill a little bit differently over the last couple of years? How could you not? This has been a very bizarre last year for him in terms of just... Well, then the Falcons, as we get ready to see the Niners play the Falcons, didn't they interview Bill but said, nah, we're going to go with Raheem Morris instead? It has been a bizarre last year plus for Bill Belichick, and it is impossible to not look at him differently than you did, say, 2-3 years ago. That being said, though, I don't think that in any way, shape, or form overshadows the incredible 40-year career preceded that. I mean, one of the best, if not the best defensive coach, the best defensive mind in NFL history, and the 20-year run that he had as head coach of the Patriots, you could say, oh, that was Tom Brady's, not on Bill Belichick. No, Bill Belichick was the head coach and the GM of that team, and as Kyle Shanahan could probably attest, being head coach and GM is very difficult. We underrate that element of Belichick's game. No, I do not think it takes away any of the shine of the coaching greatness that we saw from Belichick during his time in New England. Is he a little bit weirder now to look at? Yeah, a little bit. I'm in no way, shape, or form taking away any of the shine that he presented when he was running things in New England.
His image has taken a hit. Let's just call what it is.
Well, that
has.
With the
well, what does that mean, the image? What does it mean, the image?
You're going
taken
image of him.
No, it's been everything.
Yeah, it's been a little bit weird.
It's been a disaster.
That doesn't make him a worse coach overall, though.
No scandal, no DUI,
no
murder charge.
It kind of does.
Stop.
It kind of does.
Look at my man.
Six weeks at UNC does not undo 30 years of coaching greatness.
There's the Tom Brady era, as I'm calling it. And then there's the post-Brady era.
The Jordan Hudson era.
Let's just call it what it is. He had the greatest quarterback of all time, and when he left, he was exposed.
Mm.
Steiny?
He right now is the equivalent of Michael Jordan when Michael Jordan owned the Charlotte Hornets.
I love that one. It's
a nothing burger.
So is Michael Jordan still the GOAT?
Of course. Yes, as a player, of course.
There you go.
Belichick's always going to be a great coach, but I agree with Spadone. Like, his image... has slipped.
What does that mean?
It means he's
dating a
24-year-old woman, and he's 75.
Good for him.
A lot of people in this world find that a touch unseemly.
Al Pacino,
that affects the way I look at him as a human being. Not that he gives a rat's behind. What do you mean it's not fair?
Well, is he a lesser coach? Is he a lesser coach because? Well, then that's my point.
I'm smart enough to realize he's a great coach, but I think what he's doing is completely unseemly. It's
but
gross.
Who are you to judge his life?
I'm a human being, and a lot of human beings agree with me, and some human beings don't.
That's so unfair.
I think human beings are the group you want to be lumping yourself in with.
He's doing a horrible job at UNC. Let's say that. But what he does in the bedroom or who he dates,
really
judgmental.
Should be an inspiration to a lot of guys.
Men
in the world, if you are single right now, it's okay. Your special someone might not be born until you're 49 years old. It happens.
Oh, I love you
guys. I
got
17 years till my special someone might be born.
Oh, Sam, you're getting after it, dude. You're crushing. You and Evan,
Don't be so judgmental, guys.
I'm just calling it like I see it. Since Tom Brady left, he's been a joke. Tom's been going this way. Bill's been going this way.
All right, I'll say this
there
to
you
them.
Go.
That Tom Brady's Super Bowl in Tampa didn't help anything.
No.
And the ending in New England didn't help anything. But the story is what Loveman said. The dude built a dynasty. He was the architect of it.
All right, he was a great coach as a coordinator beforehand. I mean, he was the defensive coordinator for those great Giants teams of the late 1980s, won the Super Bowl in 86, then shut down the Kagan offense in 1990.
Well, so did everyone else.
So everyone shut down the Kagan offense?
Yes, because they went 0-4 in the Super Bowl.
Oh.
Just saying.
All right, you know what? You know what?
Don't let him get
I'm going to make a Mount Rushmore of the doofiest things you have ever said. That is the first thing I'm putting up
there's
there.
There's a lot. Go to the pregame show. I used to produce some of those,
Sammy. I'm going with just this show.
Just this one, okay.
Because that's just a silly statement.
The Sam Loveman, the hair on fire, absolutely. Miami Hurricanes in action tonight. Miami alum, Sam. But the biggest game of the weekend, Sunday Night Football. Michael Penix in town, boys. But Kirk Cousins, once upon a time, a love infatuation with him, Kyle Shanahan. But now we got Mac Jones here. All I know is it's going to be a battle of first-round quarterbacks on Sunday night between Mac McCorkle Jones and Michael Penix. But we had this question, boys, and you can answer it all morning long. I don't think the gap between Mac and Brock is that big. That's all I said.
We did a whole show on it yesterday.
Yeah, but we did it like a numerical thing. So if I was to tell you, if you could say on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being a Grand Canyon gap between these guys, where would you say the gap is between Mac and Brock? Steiny, I'll start with you.
A 3.
That's
a
what
3-ish.
That's what I said, too.
About a 3-ish. Right. But I reserve to move that up or down the more Mac Jones quarterbacks. Because I think what's happening with Mac Jones is we're looking at him as a backup, and he's been terrific. What if we looked at him as a starter, or he just were a starter, or he just were playing starting quarterback for a team? We'd be saying, yeah, he's been okay. He's been all right. But because he's done it as a backup, it's been great. It's been everything they needed to keep their season alive. So when Brock Purdy comes back, he's going to be judged as a starting quarterback taking over the starting job, and he better be better than Mac Jones, you know, within a couple games, or the noise will get louder, assuming Mac Jones keeps winning when Purdy comes back.
Yeah,
so
we...
Three. Yeah. What say you, Gil?
One and a half.
Wow.
And I got to say this. I don't know if you heard the crossover yesterday, Grandy versus Willard, in regard to QBR for the two quarterbacks and
Grandy
who was right the numbers. It was great. But the bottom line...
He's Italian.
I'm doing the whole... It's my prerogative. I'm doing the whole enchilada. And the more I think about this, and Steiny kind of didn't... He didn't sign his name to this yesterday doing the show, but I'm going to do it. There was a juncture years ago, not that long ago, where Mac Jones was one of the best quarterbacks coming out of college. It's why he got drafted where he was at. Some thought he was worthy, 1-2, what have you, and nobody knew who the hell Brock Purdy was. Now Mac Jones is in quarterback heaven, and he's working with the real guru. And let's be honest, are we really shocked?
Hold on.
Yeah.
You said that he's in quarterback heaven? He's thrown to DeMarcus Robinson and Kendrick Bourne.
Yeah, but it's working.
It's quarterback hell.
10 for 142.
They can't run the ball.
No, give me this. We thought he was a scrub or done, Mac Jones. Now he's making hit records.
Yes, I'll agree with you on that.
And we looked at it. It's not all been perfect, but Mac Jones is setting the foundation for his Baker Mayfielder, Sam Darnold reclamation project.
I'd agree with you on that.
Am I wrong on that?
I didn't mean to come at you there, by the way, Goo, but
No, you can.
His notion that he is – because Kyle Shanahan's the quarterback whisperer, we're calling him now, with the success of Brock and now Mac.
Jimmy.
I think Mac has been dealt a much worse hand than Brock was dealt last year.
And he's still looking okay.
That's what I'm saying. Okay. That's what I'm saying. Right, Sam?
Yeah, I mean, Brock was dealt some pretty rough hands last year, too. So the point I tried to make earlier in this show was that I do think the presence of Christian McCaffrey on this team has been, you know, paramount to this team's success this year. He has been their MVP. And Brock did not have the luxury of the Christian McCaffrey escape hatch last year. On top of losing his top receiver, Brandon Ayuk, we forget how good the Brandon Ayuk-Brock Purdy connection was, how often Brandon Ayuk, he goes beyond the stats, how many times just drives got energized by Brock hitting Ayuk on one of those dig routes or anything
and
like that.
And his blocking.
And the blocking, too. We undersell the blocking. Ayuk was an incredible blocker, something I don't think any of the receivers on the Niners are all that great at. You know, Brock was dealt a pretty bad hand last year, too. But Christian McCaffrey, I truly believe, has been the Niners' MVP this year.
And Brock took them to the Super Bowl, if you allow me, when everything was good. He took them to the Super Bowl and the AFC Championship game.
And so that's where I kind of say, like, and I think the gap, I put it at a 7-ish, though I'll probably end up coming down as the season goes along here and Max shows us more. But I do think that the lack of McCaffrey last year and his presence this year, like, you can't discount that impact. I mean, what would this team look like if they didn't have McCaffrey this year? What is Mac Jones looking like if they don't have McCaffrey this year? Guys, in his first 27 games with the Niners, so that's when he was traded up to the end of the 23 season. I'm not counting last year because last year was so scuffed for him. Christian McCaffrey averaged about 5 targets per game, a little bit more than that, 5.5. This year he's averaging 10 targets a game. He is getting used as a receiver more than he ever has in his career, and it is working. Like, I think we discount the effect, the impact and the fallout, so to speak, that Christian McCaffrey's presence is having for this 49ers offense. And Mac Jones has been a big beneficiary of that.
But he has been no beneficiary of an actual running game, which I guess is my point, because there was an actual running game for the Niners last season. Jordan Mason averaged 5.2 yards a carry, played in 12 games. Garendo, yes, we all laugh.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.